This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
Welcome into Critical Thinking, Andrew Coppins, Pat Oney, that is correct. I am back. I am here with you. I'm sorry. I have to apologize. I feel like I let the audience down last Friday, Pat. I really do.
Wait a minute. Why do you feel like you let them down last Friday and not yesterday?
Well, I let them down last Friday because I left them to listen to you for an hour.
Ouch. Ouch. Yeah. You realize you asked me to cover for you on Friday.
Right. I did.
I
don't call what you did last Friday covering for me.
What the hell do you call it then?
I'm just kidding. No, thank you so much for covering for me. Thanks for getting back on the solo train. You know, it's been a while since you probably did a solo show, so thank you for that. And then yesterday, well, apparently I needed a little more time before coming back. But thank you to each and every one of you who sent prayers and thoughts and messages my way. You know, while dealing with some personal and family things. And we're just going to leave it at that at this moment. But continued thoughts and prayers would be helpful as my family tries to recover and move on and move forward with life. It will be helpful. So I'll just leave it at that. It is a Truth or Fiction Tuesday today, Pat, correct?
It is.
Okay. So on a Truth or Fiction Tuesday, you know the drill. We ask a question. Well, really more of a statement. We give a statement. We ask if that is truth or fiction. And then we discuss. We will also, of course, have the be or not the be. But do not forget, you can follow us on social media. I'm at The Coppins Show. He's at The Pat Oney Show. You would know that if you are watching on a Rumble page. Rumble.com/critical thinking is where you can find this show. And of course, you can listen via podcast wherever you're finding your podcast these days. With that all out of the way, Pat, why don't you hit us with your first truth or fiction of the day?
All righty then. Truth or fiction? And I actually put some thought into this as I was listening to several different podcasts yesterday. But truth or fiction, The Apprentice Donald Trump, as in from like the TV show The Apprentice Donald Trump, would have fired the president Donald Trump for surrendering his presidency alone to Deborah Birx and our Lord Savior President Dr. Anthony Fauci.
This is a good question. I'm going to go with fiction on this. And I'm going to go with fiction because The Apprentice Donald Trump and Donald Trump in business, right, was very good at selling a bill of goods, right? Very good at selling a bill of goods. Very good at making you think that he is the richest man alive, The greatest thing since sliced bread, and everything he does is wonderful, great, grand, fantastic. Everything turns to gold. Is that not what he did during the first little bit of COVID-19? Right, that he was under control of the presidency for? I think that's what he did. He put Fauci and Birx in place and then let Pence also handle things, right? And then decided to tout all of their responses as the greatest thing since sliced bread, and that Operation Warp Speed is the greatest thing to have ever happened in human history, right? He's still out there today touting Operation Warp Speed as this amazing, wonderful, save the world moment. That's exactly what Apprentice Donald Trump would have done, in my book. What say you?
See, I think you made a lot of great points there. However, I tend to lean truth with this one.
Okay.
And the reason why... I mean, I never really watched The Apprentice that much, but I've seen him fire people for a lot less. And so it's, for me, it's if he's comparing his job performance, you know, before his time as president into what he did during his presidency, I think he would have fired himself for this. I really do. I'm not saying that Donald Trump today would fire himself. I'm talking like, you know, 20 years ago, Donald Trump, right? Like whenever The Apprentice was on TV. The reason why is because how do you put someone like Deborah Birx and Anthony Fauci in place? I understand maybe in the beginning of it all, but when Fauci started going back and forth on masks and not having a coherent plan for COVID, I could see him firing Fauci. I could see him. I mean, he can't really fire Mike Pence per se, but I could definitely see him firing Deborah Birx and somehow holding Mike Pence accountable for that. Because if I'm looking at this from what he did as on a business standpoint, this was a horrible, horrible, horrible PR campaign. And to sit there and tout what he's done today from Operation Warp Speed, and still saying it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, it was a horrible, horrible decision. He cost himself the presidency alone with his decisions with Fauci and Birx. So, yeah, I do think he would have fired himself now. Say what you will about the election being stolen. We understand that there were things that happened that swung things into Biden's favor prior to the election that shouldn't have and shouldn't have happened in the first place. But we've discussed that ad nauseum before, too. That being said, you don't go through the presidency that Donald Trump had, which is all in all pretty good until his last year when COVID hit, to being one of the worst presidential policy decisions ever made in U.S. history. You just don't do that.
Let's put a little asterisk next to that. Mm-hmm. The worst presidential decisions ever made, not made by Woodrow Wilson.
Well,
because I don't know if there's any topping Woodrow Wilson as the worst president of all time.
That's true. I'm not making the argument that Donald Trump was the worst president.
We all know Joe Biden is worse than Woodrow Wilson. We all know that.
That's also true.
All right. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you per se that when you look at it from the perspective of making this one awful decision, right, compared to the rest of the good, that he would have taken a look at himself and been like, no, you're fired. You don't know. No, right. You're fired. But I would come back with this, Pat. Trump water. Trump awesome university. Fair. Trump fair. Steak. Trump fair. This, Trump that, Trump everything. Trump real estate, Trump this.
That's right? Fair.
Mm-hmm. he has repeatedly shown in business to be able to be an epic failure and fail up. So I don't know that he would have, if he would have looked backwards, maybe he would have fired himself, right? Because we're looking at this from hindsight, but I don't think he believed that he was doing anything wrong. I think he believed, and whether or not this was right to believe in, I think he, in the moment, believed him to be doing the right and good and just thing. Hindsight is always 20/20, right?
Sure.
Right. And that's the thing that I always look at here. I'd struggle with the idea that he would have fired himself. Because I think this is another example of him failing up, right? Because the MAGA Forever crowd still eats up every last word of what he has to say. It is at least a 50-50 split between him and Ron DeSantis to run again in 2024. So my overarching point is this, right? When you look at Donald Trump, he's also going to be doing the smart thing here because he's not declaring his candidacy formally for the president in 2022 yet. And I don't think he will because at least he won't do this until they have at least, and by they I mean the GOP, taking control of the House or the Senate, because then he's going to be free from impeachment, right? And the potential for, prosecution and all that stuff, right?
Being barred from running at all.
Right. Because I think, if the Republicans don't somehow win, which increasingly looks less and less likely that they won't, at least in the House, if that doesn't happen, then he's in trouble, right? Because then they're going to go after him. They're going to go after him, not with just investigations, but, charges and things of that nature. And so I look at it from that perspective, but I think that's going down a rabbit hole. But my overarching point in all of this is to say that he doesn't feel like he failed. Now, he is smartly not bringing it up on the campaign trail. But even in the hindsight, he doesn't feel like he failed. He's still out there touting, getting vaxxed and boosted and all of these things.
You're right. I mean, look at what he did in Alaska. And I also think you're right about why he hasn't formally announced yet. It would be dumb for him to. And plus, it's also kind of early.
Well, I mean, it would be dumb for him to do it from a perspective of he just puts a target on his back and they're going to try to charge him and then make sure he cannot run for the presidency, right? That's what they would try to do.
Right. They haven't been able to charge him yet, but they certainly will try to find anything and everything that they can charge him with.
Especially with the histrionics of the January 6th Select Committee meeting at night. Have you watched a single second of it? I haven't.
No, I haven't. I mean, I've seen some clips here and there. Literally is a witch trial. Literally.
Yeah, literally. Now, having said that, Pat, speaking of witches and witchcraft and sorcery and all that wonderful goodness, I have a more of a worldview biblical question at hand. Given what we see in the news every single day, and just when you think it can't get crazier, it gets crazier. Are we in the end times? Truth or fiction? We are in the end times, I should say.
I was going to say, is that your truth or fiction?
Yeah, truth or fiction. We are in the end times.
So, I mean, this is kind of an interesting question to ask somebody that belongs to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Uh-huh.
Because it's literally in the name. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are the Church of Jesus Christ in the latter days. That is what that means, which means we are in the end times. Now, when do the end times happen? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I'm not sitting here saying, it's going to be like a December what, 21st, 2012 all over again? Like, I'm not, no one's doing that, right? At least not in my faith. So I don't know when all that's supposed to happen. I don't know. But yes, I would tend to agree that this is truth. We are in the end times. But what does the end times mean? Does it mean the end of humanity? Does it mean the end of Earth? Does it mean like what does it mean? I think there's lots of routes you could go with this. To be fair, I think where you're going with this, are we in the end times in terms of, you know, either humanity or America and of itself? Yes, I would. And the reason why I would say this is let's take a hard look around and see what's going on here. We're divided. We're as divided as we've ever been, mm-hmm. if not more so. And we are fighting over things that are highly immoral. If you take a look at the fall of the Roman Empire didn't fall because of external forces. The Roman Empire fell due to internal forces at work. And there are a lot of similarities between that and us. We make the joke, we can't figure out what bathroom to use. That's still true. You know, there are wars, rumors of wars. There are, you know, there's economic famine right now. Or at least we're heading down that road, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I would say the signs of the times would definitely say we are in the end times. Now, when do those things happen? Will they be during our time? Like, will we be a witness to that? Or are we a precursor to that and we will be either really old men or long gone before those actually happen? I don't know. I don't know.
All of that, I think, is fair. And I think it's interesting, too, because it highlights kind of maybe some of the differences in our faith, in our teachings of our faith. Because in the Catholic faith, we don't believe in some sort of rapture event. We don't believe that. We don't believe that there's going to be this, like, come to Jesus moment where, like, the, you know, the locusts and you know, the Ten Commandments moment is not – that's not what we believe. What is taught in the Catholic faith is that the second coming of Christ is hopeful. It is not rapture. It's hope.
Right. And I'll actually say we actually believe in a very similar thing where, yes, the second coming is very hopeful, but the events leading up to said second coming are very dark.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you look at it from this perspective, I mean, the Catholic Church teaches that then through his son, Jesus Christ, God will pronounce the final word on all history. We shall know the ultimate meaning of the whole work of creation and of the entire economy of salvation and understand the marvelous ways in which his providence led everything towards its final end. So when we talk about the book of Revelation, when other people talk about it, right? They go dark, right? Everybody wants to go dark. It's a very dark book, right? Except for it's not really. It is telling us the last judgment will reveal that God's justice triumphs over all of the injustices that are committed by his creatures and that God's love is stronger than death. That's hope, right?
I agree.
So I look at it from that perspective. I don't necessarily think we're at the end times. Because I don't think people are looking for hope. How do I know this, Pat? I know this because a lot of people, when they are talking with me about the new project, right, about reviving liberty, they look at me like I'm crazy. Because I hold out hope. Do you see much of that around? No. You see a lot of darkness, you see a lot of things, and when I look at what the Catholic Church teaches about the end times and all of that, it only comes to those who hold a hopeful heart. And I don't see that yet. I see people going into very dark, 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 dark territory. And we talk about the Church of Me and all of that wonderful goodness. That's dark. How do you know? We were out with some friends last night, and we were just kind of chit-chatting and got to talking how a couple of the churches that I have attended or do attend here in the city have these really cool summer events. One of them calls it Views on the Veranda. The other calls it something. But the church that's closest to me in proximity, they just started like a summer series outdoors, right? Where you can go get food and some beverages and hear talks and Q&As and all that wonderful goodness. What did they choose to do with the first speaker? They chose a gay man who has AIDS and who authored a book about being Catholic with AIDS. And his talk was not about anything that we could control, because it's not about, like, you know, him being gay or having AIDS that's the problem, right? It is the fact that the Catholic Church is endorsing the sinner and the sin in this category, right? You can, and this is the thing that I think a lot of people miss about the Catholic Church and about the teachings of Jesus Christ. It is that you can hate the sin but love the sinner, because we are all sinners. We are all sinners in the eyes of God. Well, none of us are the perfect image of Christ. How do we know that? Because we are all of Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve are the ultimate sinners. They're the first sinners. But the church should not be embracing the sin. And then I compare it to the other church, where their young Catholic network puts on the Views on the Veranda. They literally, one of the things that we have attended prior to my wife and I being married about 5 years ago now, it was a Catholic priest and a relationship therapist and expert giving a joint talk on the sanctity of marriage. What, do you see the problem with this? Right? On the one hand, we have the sickness of, we're not just going to embrace the sinner, we're also going to embrace the sin, versus we are attempting to get you to think about and interact with and love the sacrament of marriage. 5 years ago, that's where the church was. Today, the church is, look at this really cool gay sinner, and we have to love and embrace the sin that he has committed. We had the alderman here embrace this. The alderman in our district, right? Our district, embrace it. And he happens to be of that persuasion, right? We literally watched the church be awash in the sin. I don't know if you need any more greater example of that. Here we are saying and glorifying and producing something that says, hi, come check out our chat on this thing that's a sin. Wait, what? Because what does the church teach, right? It teaches that, okay, you sin, but you repent of your sin, and you are in good graces of the faith and of God. right? The whole point is, yes, we are sinners. By reconciling with that sin, by understanding that you have sinned, and then doing penance for this sin. Great. Is this his penance? No. This is the Catholic Church, at least in so much as this parish, embracing the sin. I just boggles my mind. It really does. So it's super dark. And that's my point. I don't know if we're there. And I don't know if I can embrace an end time. Because the other teaching of the church is we're never going to know what it looks like. We're never going to know. And I think about that sometimes, right, Pat? How do we know what that second coming of Jesus Christ will look like? And for those who do not reconcile with their faith, how are they supposed to see, understand, and embrace that second coming? Right? How many times have we seen people claim to be the Messiah, right? Claim to be that second coming of Jesus Christ, and that's not who that is, right? How many times have we seen right. The call to action and all those things? Okay, because the hardening of my heart when it comes to that becomes what? What happens when, because they've cried wolf so many times, right?
Right.
You start how to do we very know simple. That we mm-hmm. would embrace, even as the faithful, embrace that second coming? How?
It's a great question. I don't know that I have the answer to that question. And I agree with a lot of what you said, because and even I'm saying I don't know when the second coming is supposed to happen. I don't know that we're truly in the end times, but I can make the case that there are a lot of signs that say that we are. I can make the case that there are a lot of signs that say that we're not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is what I do know. I would say be prepared. Either way.
Funny you should mention that. We're going to be talking about being prepared on Reviving Liberty this week, which, by the way, will be out in a few hours. If you're watching or listening to this early on Tuesday morning, because of the personal family stuff, I had to push writing that episode. But it's almost done. So it should be up later today. If not, it'll be up tomorrow. But we're talking about being prepared. And I brought up the dichotomy of the embracing of the sacrament and then the embracing of the sin. To make sure that you understand that you have to be prepared within your own relationship with God, and that you have to be prepared to be confrontational, that you have to be prepared to say, oh, hell no. Or to walk out of one parish and into another. That parish might be 15 minutes from where you live. That parish might be somewhere else, right? But you have to be prepared to be okay walking away. You have to be prepared to embrace your own relationship with God. You have to be prepared to fight a fight if you want to stay. But you have to be awake. You have to be in the moment. You have to be prepared to think and to act. Right. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about on Reviving Liberty today or tomorrow. Well, it just depends on how much I get through the writing today. That having been said, Pat, I think it's time for us to play a little bit of the B or not the B. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
OK. All right. So today's headline. Woman leaves 99 perfectly good parking spots in search of the one that is likely taken. Woman leaves 99 perfectly good parking spots in search of the one that's likely taken. While you are thinking about that, folks, I'm going to toot my own horn for a moment here. If you are in the Chicago area, you are looking to sell, to get the hell out of Illinois, maybe to buy an investment property for all the liberals that are flocking here, and you can sucker them into living in this city. Great, grand, wonderful. Hit me up. Go to closewithcoppins.com. Let me know what you're looking to buy, to sell, whatever you got going on here. I am a licensed real estate agent with Exit Strategy Realty here in Chicago. Hit up closewithcoppins.com. More importantly, you can DM me wherever you find me on social media. You can embrace at closewithcoppins on Instagram, TikTok, all that wonderful goodness, where you get some tips and tricks and on humor. Yes, yes, real estate humor comes your way. But yes, and then of course YouTube is the Close with Coppins channel, again, where I go more in depth of things that maybe you should be thinking about if you're looking to buy or sell. Lots and lots of topics coming your way, such as, is the sky falling? Meaning, what about your home value? We've already talked about the bubble not bursting, but the new video coming your way will be about, what about the value of your home? Is it going to appreciate? Is it going to depreciate? Is it going to actually lose value for you? We're going to talk about that. But go to closewithcoppins.com. Check it out. Hit me up. All that wonderful goodness. I am here for your questions, your thoughts, and let's talk real estate. That having been said, Pat, are you ready? Do you need the headline one more time?
No, but I do have a quick question.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You said you work for Exit Strategy Realty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it Exit Strategy because you come up with an exit strategy for those that are living in Illinois?
See, that is part and parcel of exactly why it's named Exit Strategy Realty. So it is a franchise of Exit Realty Corp International. And yes, Pat, the irony is not lost on any of us, and that's exactly why it was named that.
Gotcha. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I didn't know if that was intentional or what, but yeah.
Yep. All right. So the headline, woman leaves 99 perfectly good parking spots in search of the one that's likely taken. Is this the B or not the B, Pat?
See, part of me wants to say this is not the B because that is my wife.
Like, mine too.
If there was ever a story, that would be my wife. However, I'm going with the Babylon Bee because that is totally a Babylon Bee headline.
And you are correct. It is the Babylon Bee. And you are also correct that is every woman I have ever met when they go to park. Oh, I can get closer. I just know it. And especially in a Costco parking lot. No, take the one that's open for the love of all things holy. Oh.
Even if it's all the way in the back, by the way.
Yeah.
And you have to walk a mile. Take it.
Local woman Catherine Mayfield displayed her Christ-like love for all parking spaces by driving past the other 99 perfectly good spots in search of the one closer to the front that is most likely already taken. How did we know this is where they were going to go with this, Pat? Quote, when others enter the Target parking lot, they will just go for the first reasonable spot they see and give up on trying to find that one little spot at the front, said Catherine Mayfield. But not me. I leave the 99 behind, and I never stop searching, even if I have to drive up and down every lane at a painstakingly slow stop-and-go speed. According to sources, Catherine's husband, Marcus, claims that she spends far more time searching for the perfect spot than she would if she just went for a normal spot halfway down the parking lot. Catherine responded by saying that she is not content to settle for anything less than, for anything less until that lone parking space that is precious in her sight is found. Quote, I am not willing that one of those little spaces should be neglected, she said. At publishing time, Catherine at last found the perfect spot that just so happened to be the closest to the entrance, but it turned out to be a handicapped parking spot, forcing Catherine to circle around again and continue her search.
Oh, jeez. So on that note, because my wife actually does have knee problems. And she's always yapping at me, like, find a spot that's closer, find a spot that's closer. And I just, for me, like because I drive a truck, first of all, and I also take very good care of my truck, I like to park somewhere where
door dings don't happen.
You're right.
Uh-huh.
And that drives her absolutely insane. I mean, when it comes to backseat driving, my wife is the worst in parking lots.
See, no, I think it's how the brain works. And it's not necessarily a man or a woman thing. It is. So for me, when I get into a parking lot, I can scan immediately to see right. how busy that parking lot actually is. And right. then my brain automatically goes into find the closest that you could and just park there. Right. My brain automatically does that. Like, okay, I can see this parking lot is bat nuts crazy. Whatever parking space is the first one I can find, take it.
See, I've learned if the parking lot is bat nuts crazy and I'm likely not going to find something that's all that close, I drive up to the door and drop her off. And then smart. I go park.
Except for then you allow her to go into Target and ransack that store for an extra 5 minutes.
She's actually not a big Target person.
Mm. Okay, then it's Costco.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord Almighty. Now, Pat, do you want to go next with your truth or fiction, or do you want me to?
I mean, I can if you would like me to. So, well, first of all, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
No, it's up to you. Up to you.
Okay, I'll go.
Ladies' since you choice. Just went. Ladies' choice. Oh wait, I'm sorry.
The last Jen Psaki. Time, sorry. I am not Jen Psaki. Then again, is Jen Psaki also a lady?
Yes.
Okay. Just
no. She's just, a birthing person.
What is a woman?
Eh?
All right. So truth or fiction. The reason why China hasn't invaded Taiwan yet is because they already have and they don't need to. Militarily.
This is a good one. This is a really good one. I'm going to go with fiction on this because while I get the thought process that might have went into that statement, here's the fiction part of that. If they really militarily had already had that kind of control over Taiwan, we'd be at war. It's just that simple. No, I shouldn't say that. If Donald Trump were president, we would have been at war. Joe Biden doesn't understand how to do foreign policy on any successful level ever. That's very clear because we keep sending money to Ukraine and basically solely funding it. We fund at least 80 to 90% of that war effort in Ukraine. But when it comes to China and Taiwan, I get where you're going, right? Because they technically control most of the South China Sea at this point, right? And if they control the waterways, they basically could shut them off at any point in time. They could choke them off if they wanted to. But we have sent Taiwan almost all of the advanced equipment we possibly could to fight that fight themselves. I would argue that Taiwan could easily take care of themselves if they wanted to. Because of our weaponry, because of the things that we have sent their way, you know, the anti-aircraft missiles and the ballistic missiles that we've sent over there, the fighter jets, all of that wonderful goodness that we've sent to Taiwan's direction. I think realistically, the reason that they have not invaded is economic. And what do I mean by that? Because They're too busy trying to do what right now, Pat? Stabilize their currency. I would argue that once they do stabilize their currency, what they're going to see is that their economy is gone to hell in a handbasket. That is when they strike. Because it would be what? A distraction, right? This would be a needed distraction for the Chinese Communist Party. What has gone underreported, if not even just ignored here in the United States of America, has been what the Bank of China has done to people. And by the way, you don't get to embrace any other bank in China. It's called the Bank of China for a reason. Okay. But the Chinese people have been allowed under the Chinese, you know, half-bred economy, you know, half communist, half capitalist, they have allowed their people to put money into a savings account, right? That these people have these great accounts, right? What has happened to their savings accounts as of late? The Bank of China has seized all savings accounts, okay, all of them, converted them into completely different types of accounts that are now wholly owned by the Chinese Communist Party. That's right. All the money that you saved for yourself in that quote unquote capitalist economy over there is gone. All of it. You had $10,000, $1 million, $5. Gone. It's not yours anymore. I don't know why this is not something the United States of America and its media is not paying attention to. Why is this an important story? Not just because they literally just took the money and ran, right? But the reason behind it being their economy is going to bleep. It is going to dit, if you will. They're in deep, deep, deep economic trouble. So much so that they can't even fund the potential to go to war. Okay? So that's why I talked about the stabilization of their currency. They need to stabilize it. Now, beyond that, when we look at the story, why does it matter to us here in the United States of America? Let me ask you, do you think our currency is stable? Do you think our debt is sustainable? The answer to that is no. Now, Pat, if you have a savings account, let me ask you this. Can you go into your bank and pull your money out today if you wanted to?
It would likely depend on what I have in my account. But generally speaking, probably not.
Right. If you went in and let's say you've got $10,000 in your savings account, you would never be able to pull that $10,000 out. Why? Because the federal government only requires that they keep $1,000 on hand of your account at any point in time. Because they only have a certain amount of cash available at the actual physical bank at any point in time. Your $10,000 exists on paper, okay? It doesn't actually exist. Now, the other part of it that you should know is, well, that'll never happen here, right? Who backs your savings account, your checking account? Who backs it, Pat?
Well,
it depends. I should say it depends, but if you have a normal banking account and you're not going the credit union route,
it'd be FDIC, wouldn't it?
Right. What does the FDIC stand for, Pat? The Federal Depository Insurance Corporation.
I was going to say, yeah, I knew it was federal something.
The first word is federal. Mm-hmm. Okay. The government is backing your account. Why? Because of the run on the banks during the Great Recession, right? And the banks going, uh-oh, we don't have that kind of money in our bank, right? There's their control mechanism. What the hell do you think an FDIC-backed savings account will look like if this were China? Their ability to control your account, right there. I cannot advise enough to do this. If you have the money in your savings account, invest it in something physical, whether that's land, whether that is property, whether that is something that is an actual asset, okay? Invest it in a company, like physically invest it in the company. Take $10,000 and go to an investment fund and invest in a company or do whatever. But do not keep that money in your bank account. Because here's the rub. Find something that you can liquidate if you need to, okay? So a real estate investment, a investment in a company, like a physical investment. Not, I'm not talking about buying stock through M1 or, you know, Robinhood or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about physically finding a company that you could own, or finding a piece of property or land or whatever have you that you could own. Find something physical that is an asset. I cannot emphasize this enough. It is happening in China. And what the hell do you think is going to happen when the jig comes up? Because who owns over a quarter of our debt? China. When that jig comes up, when that bill comes up from them because, oh, crap, they're out of money, which is coming pretty soon considering they just converted all savings account from the Bank of China, all Chinese Bank of China accounts into federal or CCP accounts or whatever. They literally stole your money. What the hell do you think is coming this way? So think through that. Think through that. So that's a long, long history lesson, if you will, of the Bank of China to get to. There ain't no way, no how they're going to go to war over Taiwan right now because of that dire economic situation. Normally, I would say, how do you distract from a struggling economy? You go to war, right? Normally, that would be my response, right? But they don't have the money to be able to do that. They don't. They don't have the ability to do that right now. I could argue that there are all the signs that would point to this being the time that they should do it. Yes, I would say that part would be truth. Why? Because number one, economies are weak. Number two, we are at our lowest military recruitment and retention level of all time. So we have fewer people. And oh, by the way, we're more interested in making sure that the National Guard, the reservists, the active military people are being purged for daring to still not get the vaccination, right, for COVID-19. And I don't even want to go down that route because holy crap, the panic porn pushers are back in a major way. Don't want to go down that route. But all the things that if you were to put on the table, all the things, all the dominoes that should fall over for you to say, yep, it's time to go to war. It is right now. There's just one problem with it all. It's their economy. It is their inability to be able to produce not enough goods, but enough money to be able to fund their war effort. They can't do it. See, they believe in the communist version and utopia of modern monetary theory, right? But modern monetary theory only works when what is going on, right? Government debt is either at a low level or employment and rising wages keeps that inflationary issue low. You don't do that when you're, you know what I mean? Like you don't steal people's money out of their own bank accounts if your currency and your economy are going well. If modern monetary theory is working well, that doesn't happen. It's the one domino that is just off of its course, if you will, right? That one domino that just doesn't want to fall over in the middle of that domino set, in the middle of the topple, if you will, right? It doesn't topple. Uh-oh. So that's where I come down. What about you?
I tend to agree that it's fiction. And maybe the better question to ask would have been, is China at its peak? Have they reached their peak? I think that could have been maybe a better question here. However, I do think that this is ultimately fiction, mostly for economic reasons. But I also do wonder on some level, because I do think that they may have infiltrated Taiwan to a point, just like I think they've infiltrated even the United States to a point. I mean, look at Eric Swalwell, for example. So,
yeah, but couldn't you say he has penetrated China?
I said infiltrated. You said penetrated.
Okay, so then he infiltrated, wink, wink, China.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you could technically say that. I guess that's true. But yeah, I think they would be hurting themselves at this point, not even necessarily just from a financial standpoint, but because of, look at what Taiwan does for the rest of the world, including China.
By the way, quick side note, Pat. Shouldn't Eric Swalwell be up for the next James Bond?
Why?
Because he enjoys sleeping with international spies.
Okay. No. He's too much of a wuss.
Oh, that's right. He's a terrible actor.
Yeah, he's a wuss.
We see it on the January 6th committee and everywhere else. He is.
Yeah.
I forgot about that part where James Bond is a man's man.
Though I am intrigued by the idea of like an Idris Elba, by the way, for that role.
Then another day, another time.
Yeah.
But I see your point. I do believe that has been part of China's philosophy and strategy here, is if they can ruin it from the inside, right?
Right.
Much as you could argue they've done that here. They've tried to.
I just don't think that's going to be enough at the end of the day. So right. I don't think that's enough to be – they're going to have to go in militarily at some point. But, I mean, when is that going to happen? Right now would be the best time to do it, especially when you have someone like Joe Biden in power in the United States, because he has no idea what to do foreign policy-wise, nor could we handle a war on two fronts with the whole Ukraine situation. But China, as you said, can't do it. And I honestly do think it's for multiple reasons. I don't think it's just purely financial.
Now, my last truth or fiction, and this one will hopefully be a quick one, is this. Al Gore is the biggest prick of all time. Truth or fiction, geez. But wait, there's video. So I'm going to let you stew on this.
Okay.
You know, the climate deniers are really in some ways similar to all of those almost 400 law enforcement officers in Uvalde, Texas, who were waiting outside an unlocked door while the children were being massacred. They heard the screams, they heard the gunshots, and nobody stepped forward. And God bless those families who've suffered so much. And law enforcement officials tell us that's not typical of what law enforcement usually does. And confronted with this global emergency, what we're doing with our inaction and failing to walk through the door and stop the killing is not typical of what we are capable of as human beings. We do have the solutions. And I think these extreme events that are getting steadily worse and more severe are really beginning to change minds. We have to have unity as a nation to come together and stop making this a political football. It shouldn't be a partisan issue.
So again, so the truth or fiction, Al Gore is the biggest prick alive.
I'm going to go with fiction. Hear me out. Because I think if you would ask the question, is Al Gore the biggest prick when it comes to climate change? That might be truth. But to say that he's the biggest prick alive, I think I could make the argument for a few others. That's why I'm going to have to say fiction on this, is because I think we're looking at a singular issue rather than looking at as a whole. Because I could certainly make the case Joe Biden is a bigger prick. I could make the case that Donald Trump is a bigger prick. I could make the case. I mean, I could make the case on several people, but I think this is a singular issue topic. If it comes to climate change, yeah, I would definitely say that that's truth.
Interesting, because I mean, I can't think of a bigger prickish thing to do, a more Richard thing to do than what he just did there.
I mean, what about Vladimir Putin, for example?
Well, I mean, why doesn't he just call us a bunch of Holocaust deniers, right? What? Because we don't agree with – this is coming from the guy who told us 10 years ago that the polar ice caps – and I mentioned this on Twitter. This is the guy who told us the polar ice caps were going to be gone. Still there. Still producing ice. And oh, by the way, the evidence right now is that the melting has stopped and the reproduction of ice has begun. What? According to Al Gore, we should all be dead by now, right? I mean, every prediction this man has made when it comes to climate change has been wrong. Every one of them.
I agree.
He is the epitome of the climate hypocrite. He runs around the world making all of the money he possibly can. And I hate the conspiracy theory nuts, right? I really do. But this isn't a conspiracy theory when it comes to me. This is a grift. And it always has been, this climate change. It is a grift on the world's population. Al Gore is rich because of the climate change scares. Al Gore is rich because he figured out a way to grift the world. Follow the money. You will see if it's true or not. And I say that for everything. Follow the money. Where's the money going? Who is enriching themselves, or whom is being enriched? It is unbelievable what is going on here. This man continues to talk and talk and talk. He is the Anthony Fauci of climate change. There's literally not a single thing that he's getting right. Not one. The comparison of people who dare to be a skeptic of so-called climate change. Notice how it's not global warming. Notice all of those things, right?
Right.
The audacity to compare that to people who sat on the sidelines while children were being slaughtered. This comes from the very people. And I also look at it from this perspective. Oftentimes, the people who are yelling the loudest are the ones who are doing the same thing. Notice the person who's yelling about the slaughter of children believes in the slaughter of children, not just from a pro-life, pro-abortion stance. But what do these people actually believe? What do they actually believe? We have Jane Goodall get up on the World Economic Forum stage and literally talk about depopulating the planet, wishing that we went back to where our population levels were 500 years ago. How do you do that without killing mass amounts of people? Oh, you do it by making sure that we can't advance technology and science and agriculture, you know, agricultural technology, ag tech. We can't do that, right? Because if we do that, then the advancement of that leads to more people living longer, healthier lives. And we can't have that. We are literally watching the people who want to tell you that you are, if you deny their climate reality, if you deny that, you're like the Uvalde police who want to slaughter children. Your inaction is what's causing the slaughter of children. Meanwhile, they literally are telling you we want to depopulate the planet. What the hell? I can't even. And with that, Pat, your final thoughts.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And let's go, Brandon.
Please be smart, be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew 547.